Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. Our guest is Jean-Hilaire Yappy, President of the Ivoirian Congress of Canada. Jean-Hilaire, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
There's a crisis developing in your country, and I noticed that the Ivoirian Congress has been sending messages to the media here to make sure that the democratic, I guess, crisis unfolding in Cote d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast, is followed by everyone, because this seems to require some attention. I understand there's a dispute as to who can run for president, the scheduled election for the October 31, and also whether or not there should be an election at this time at all. Explain to us what this crisis is all about, if you will.
Okay, the crisis is, actually it is very simple. The crisis arose from the fact that the current president, who already served two terms as president, decided to be candidate for a third term. The problem is that there is the constitution of the country is similar to the one they have in the US. A president can only serve two terms. And he decided that he will do a third term, and the opposition say, no, you cannot be candidate. You have to select someone else as a candidate for your party, but you cannot be yourself a candidate because it is forbidden by the constitution. So that's where the crisis starts. Now the crisis is developing also because of the fact that the candidacy of political leaders have been rejected. It is like Ouattara, the president, is not allowed to be candidate. He is selected as a candidate, and the ones of the very important leaders of opposition, some of them have been rejected. So the opposition altogether, even the ones who were selected and the ones who were not selected, put themselves together and say, there will be no election until you remove your candidacy from the list.
Uh-huh. Well, this is scheduled now. This is two weeks away. If other parties are saying, no, if you're not going to permit a free and fair election where the opposition chooses their candidate, if they say no, does that mean their names are, is there going to be a ballot and their names to be put on there whether they like it or not? What's going to happen?
What will happen is the fact that it's not only a political game actually currently in Cote d'Ivoire. It's all about the country itself, the nation, and the constitution. You know, the constitution of a country is a very important thing for the base, you know, on which the country is, has been built. So the fact is that now the population added to the political parties, all the population say, we cannot accept it. We have a constitution, and a country start by the respect due to the constitution by anyone, even the president. Mm-hmm. So that's where the thing become, you know, more difficult for the president, because now the population, the civil part of the population altogether say no to Ouattara's candidacy. So unless he removes his name from the list, I think that there will be a blockage, because the population will continue to flow to the streets. And maybe, you know, if Ouattara has already started to shoot the people, the demonstrators, there have been almost 30 killed in 30? The past weeks. 30, yes. And a lot of people have been jailed. And all the demonstration, you have the policemen. We have also Amnesty International stated it in one of its their reports that the policemen take some, members of the party of the president with machetes, and they go there to just try to make sure that the population cannot go to the demonstration. That is unacceptable.
Well, that raises some matters here. When I think the last time that there was international focus and attention to the situation in Ivory Coast was when Mr. Gbagbo, President Gbagbo, was in a contested election, and there was world attention paid to the matter. And indeed, France, yeah, I want you to explain why, but France became a big player in determining Mr. Gbagbo's status, and indeed Mr. Ouattara's status. We also had the United Nations. I don't hear anyone talking about Ivory Coast now the way they did then. Why doesn't Ottawa care? And why do they seem to like Mr. Ouattara?
We don't know. But again, it depends on, how can I say that? All begins by France, and all is linked to the partnerships between France and its allies. Okay. In the case of Côte d'Ivoire is part of the many few countries in Africa, the 11 countries in Africa where we are former colony of France and where we speak French. And these countries are still, even after 60 years after the independence, they are considered as owned by France. So anything from our countries is decided at the first stand by France. So when France say this guy has won the election, all the United Nations say, okay, that's the truth. So that's where the problem is. But the fact is, France has a big conflict of interest in his former colonies. Okay. Yeah. And France have been already always under all the coups that have been done in these countries. Gbagbo was and is still a Democrat. Gbagbo is the father of democracy in Côte d'Ivoire because he was the only one who fought against Houphouët-Boigny, the former president, the first president of the country, in order to have democracy implemented or start its implementation in Côte d'Ivoire with several parties. But Gbagbo was seen also by France as the guy who is saying that France is owning our country and this is unacceptable. We should be free as a country, a sovereign country, to cooperate, to deal with anyone in the world we want. And we want to change, he wanted really to change the way that the relationship, the kind of relationship that were between France and our country. And that was unacceptable by France. So they did all they could to remove him from power. So when Gbagbo came to power 2 years after that, they created a rebellion. They gave them the weapon, whatever it takes. And they created a crisis, a civil war, which stayed for 8 years, a lot of pressure on Gbagbo until the election. And after the election, after the election, Gbagbo was declared winner by the Constitutional Council. And he was installed as the president of the country when France decided that was not good, and they created the situation of what we call the post-electoral crisis, declaring Ouattara the winner and making sure that they remove Gbagbo from the power taken to the ICC, International Civil Court, to be judged. And actually, Gbagbo has been judged, and he has been declared not guilty.
He's not totally guilty.
Not guilty, totally innocent.
He's not guilty. He's innocent, but he cannot return and run for president of his own country.
Exactly, because the objective of all this thing was to take Gbagbo away from the political life of the country. So Gbagbo has been acquitted, but he cannot go back to his country. He deserved to have a diplomatic passport. They refused it, but as a citizen of Côte d'Ivoire, he has, you know, he should have at least a passport. And this, they don't want to give him a passport because they don't want Gbagbo to go back to the country before the election. Because the truth is, if Gbagbo goes back to the country before the election and Gbagbo says, "I am candidate," I think that no other president, no, he will become again the president if he,
like
he
runs.
That they don't want it. So they refuse him to go back to the country.
I have to use a word here that I think we better bring back into the language. It's like an exercise in colonialism. He's being held in a European capital, basically denied his rights. The fact that they put him in a European prison and then kept him all these years and then acquitted him, they're just playing games with people, playing games with Africans, frankly.
They're just playing games, but the fact is, and that's where I am questioning the what we call the international community, because, you know, France is a country, but you have the US, and the US participated to the coup against Gbagbo. You have Canada. Canada participated also to the coup against Gbagbo. And now the question is why? And the answer is clearly the interest. Now, interest being, exploitation of many resources in the countries, geopolitics, all these things.
Yes. Can I ask you this? I noticed something about the preferred leader from a European, France and America point of view seems to be someone who once was employed by the International Monetary Fund or the World Bank. I noticed that there have been several countries in Africa where they have worked for the removal of a democratically elected person, and the designated new person, like Mr. Ouattara,
exactly,
is an IMF man. And I hear a rumor that France is saying maybe they could solve the problem by bringing in someone named Tidjane Thiam. And I notice he's from a Bank Swiss.
Yes, and that is really the problem, because why the population of Côte d'Ivoire cannot freely choose who should rule the country? Why should we have the leader of the country, the president of the country, selected by another country? That is all the question. And, you know, Côte d'Ivoire has a lot of resources, a lot of people educated who can do the job. So why should we have someone selected by a foreign country? That's the problem.
And the answer is, from the point of view of the foreign country, that country benefits if you have a different system, one that benefits them, right? In other words, what has been the 10-year rule of Mr. Ouattara? Who has he favored? What has happened?
What Ouattara, you know, they are presenting him as an economist. Uh-huh. And they say that the country now has economic growth, and everything is good. But when you go to Cote d'Ivoire and you ask the population, they say, we are still starving. Yes, they say that numbers are good, but the population cannot feel it. So, you know, and it is all about business, doing business. Yes, the country is increasing its debt, creating a lot of infrastructure, but very bad quality infrastructures has been built in Cote d'Ivoire with prices much, much higher than what could be what we could have with maybe other countries, but all the businesses, all everything is owned by French companies, you know. And Canada also has some opportunities to dig gold in our country. All these things made them silence about what France is imposing to our country. That's the problem.
The IMF has certainly 20, 30 years ago, when all these crises began, where they started seeing what I would call signs of neocolonialism. The declaration in Europe was that everyone in Africa is incompetent and they needed to be led by the IMF. And the IMF had to discipline each country. I remember that was the language. And people like President Ouattara,
yeah, exactly,
were the kinds of people who would implement this. Now, I want to ask about, in this opposition, there are people who used to be his allies, right? There were,
yes.
And now they seem to have drifted away. So it would clearly indicate a majority, political majority, is against him.
Exactly.
Are they going to be able to keep the opposition together? Because there's going to be a temptation. At some point, he's going to offer somebody something, right?
Yes, but you know, the his allies who quit his boat, our allies that were promised a lot of things, and you know, Ouattara could not fulfill his promises. So they decided to quit, because if we take the president, former president Conan Bédié, who was the ally of Ouattara, the deal that they made was that, okay, after two terms, it will be my turn to be president. So, you know, the constitution of the code of Cote d'Ivoire has been changed and adopted with a very great majority in 2000. And that constitution put the basis of true democracy, you know, election. And that constitution also put basis for, you know, to limit the number of mandates to two. Another limit of the age, you know, if you are over 75 years old, you cannot come back and say you want to be a candidate. All these things have been put in the constitution back in 2000. Now, Conan Bédié is an old man. He is currently something like 86 years old. I'm not sure, 84 to 86 years old. So this guy cannot run for presidency. Mm-hmm. And Ouattara himself, if we leave the constitution as it was in 2000, he cannot run for presidency. Okay?
He wrote himself a new constitution in 2016, but he said he would not run.
So what he did is he changed the constitution. He removed the limit of the age to make sure that he can run, and that also the former president can run, Bédié. But Bédié, it was a promise to Bédié that he would be the next president. So he had to show him something to tell him that, you know, I'm working for you because I removed that part of the constitution. You can run. But the thing is, during all this process, Ouattara himself made his campaign saying that this new constitution will not change the limit of the number of terms, two terms. So I will not be able myself to be a candidate.
So it was a trick.
And, you know, people like, you know, there is a former ally who quit just a few months ago, just like 2 months ago. His name is Amontano. He was the foreign minister of Ouattara. And he said, you know, I went to the campaign with the fact that I knew that Ouattara would not come because of all he promised. And now he is coming back. He wants to rule. I cannot accept it. That's why I'm quitting Ouattara. So all this thing, you know, it's like they did a trick, but it's lying to the population here. And from a president, it is a total disrespect to the population. Yeah. That's what he did. And from the perspective of the constitution, that's what we call in France a perjury. Uh-huh. Because he is supposed to be the first person to respect the constitution and is violating it. Mm-hmm. So that's why the population is determined to say, you will not continue. We will stop you. No matter what it takes, the population will stop him. Now all the candidates have selected, removed their candidacy. So only one small candidate, you know, a guy who was, you know, who has no representation, but he has been maybe given some money. It's Ouattara is running against this guy, and this will not happen.
We're speaking to Jean-Hilaire Yapi, and he is with the Canadian Congress of Ivoirians. And there have been demonstrations here, by the way. Congratulations. There was one in Toronto, I understand, and you had them in Montreal. Yes. I'm sorry to say the Canadian media is not, they seem to be consciously not doing their duty by failing to discuss this. I wonder about the neighboring states. You have a troublesome neighbor or the neighbor that's often in trouble, Burkina Faso and others. Are they concerned about what's happening here? Or are they saying anything?
You know, the relation with Burkina Faso is a little bit, complicated. Normally, we have good relationships. But again, don't forget that in Burkina Faso, they removed the former president, Compaoré. So they made their revolution to remove him.
He's an ally of Ouattara.
He was an ally of Ouattara. And don't forget that Compaoré, when he was removed, he has been taken by France and sent to Côte d'Ivoire.
By France.
And Compaoré has been given the citizenship of Côte d'Ivoire. And he's living in Côte d'Ivoire.
I'm glad I am.
So the country has a relationship with Côte d'Ivoire, but it's not a very good relationship because the guy who is researched, because the Burkina Faso want to judge Compaoré. They cannot judge him because Ouattara is protecting him, raising the fact that now he is an Ivorian citizen. That's the situation.
You know, that is so glaring. That takes us back to, I'm so glad I asked, because as I understand it, you're saying France literally rescued him, took
yes.
him to Côte d'Ivoire, gave him citizenship to protect him. And if I understand the story right, he was like an uncle to Ouattara. I mean, he helped put him in power in Ivory Coast.
And don't forget that after he had been removed, I think that maybe 1 or 2 years after, from Côte d'Ivoire, a coup was attempted to remove, to change the power again in Burkina Faso. And the coup was attempted from Côte d'Ivoire, led by maybe Compaoré's people and the former president of the assembly. You know, Côte d'Ivoire was involved in the attempted coup in Burkina Faso to maybe bring back the former order represented by Compaoré. That's why, you know, the relationship is not as good as it could be.
Yeah. Is there any regional body that meets to talk about this, whether or not the constitution's implemented? Is there any assembly of French states, former French colonies, that kind of thing? Are they talking about it?
Yes, but you know, in all the former French colonies, we have the same history. Let's talk about Guinea. Guinea, Conakry, they're also, the population is also facing a president who ran 2 terms, and we want a third term, and we change the constitution to do the same thing as Ouattara. And who is killing his population just to remain in power. You take a country like Congo, we have a president now who is there for like more than 30 years. You take a country like Cameroon, the president has been there for 38 years. And today, we don't know why, but even during the meeting of the ministers, he is not presented. We have just a photography of the president in the room, and there is the council of the minister. But he is still the president for 38 years. You have the same thing in Gabon. Gabon, the former president, his name is Omar Bongo, stayed at power for 40 years, and since his death, he has been replaced by his child, who is currently ruling the country. And these guys are selected by France to continue what they have.
There's no objection from Paris to these leaders.
No objection. You take Togo, another country, the father has been president for 40 years, he is replaced by his child. And when the population goes to the street, they fire the population and, you know, they shut the population. And there is no concern raised by anyone, not by Paris, but also not by Canada.
Yeah, so long as there's liberty, fraternity, and equality. We're speaking to Jean-Hilaire Yapi, I think we should probably give a last word to President Gbagbo, who was robbed of his status. What is he saying? Is he talking about this?
Gbagbo, I think that Gbagbo, since he has been acquitted, said nothing. Nothing, zero. He said nothing, no official statement, nothing.
Is that because he might be compromised in his legal status in Europe?
No, he wants to go back to his country. And I think that from what I heard from the people, you know, who can talk to him, he will talk only when he goes back to Cote d'Ivoire, not before. He will say something, but now he says nothing.
However,
but again,
his wife, Simone Gbagbo, she does speak out.
Yeah, she is free to speak out, yeah. And she is supporting her husband, and she is waiting for his return. And the only people who don't want him to come back is the President Ouattara. But don't forget that when Ouattara was in exile, Gbagbo brought him back to Cote d'Ivoire at the time.
Permitted him to come back and let him run, yes.
Yes.
It is a battle for democracy and the constitution of Cote d'Ivoire. Respect for the law.
Respect for the law. That the fact is, Ouattara doesn't respect the law, the constitution. The population says no, you will not continue. That's the fight. Nothing else. No, you know, they will. Ouattara said in a recent statement that he was running because he wanted to stay there to protect northern people, Muslims. No. He wanted to stay there because...
He says that openly?
Yes, he said that openly. I want to run to...
That is incitement.
To protect the Muslims and the population of the north. But the coalition of the opposition who is facing him, we have a lot of people from the north of the country. So this is a lie, but this is also an attempt to divide the country based on the ethnicity.
So if he can't
this
be in
is
power,
very dangerous.
If he can't be in power, he wants to create once again a civil war.
Exactly. And you know, he wants to use that civil war to justify the fact that he should stay because he's presenting himself as the peacemaker.
Yes. Without him, it's a deluge.
Without him, it's a deluge. But again, it's hard to say, but I don't understand. I don't understand why in Canada, a media like Radio Canada is always begging the population with what is going on in Biolarisi, which is exactly the same what I is doing, and they don't want to talk about what is going on in Cote d'Ivoire, even if every day I send them the information about what is going on in Cote d'Ivoire. And I'm recalling then that back in 2010, they were on the front line talking about Cote d'Ivoire every day. Why they don't want to talk about Cote d'Ivoire today? That is the question I'm asking Radio Canada today.
Well, I hope that we will get an answer. Jean-Hilaire Yeppe, we've been very pleased to have you as a guest. And after the 31st, we're going to have to come back and talk to you because something really important is going to unfold at the end of October. So thank you very, very much for being our guest.
Yes, I think that it might be even before the 31st.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.